From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to the show. This is episode 62 of the Angry Admins Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm still here, Joe Bibby.
This week we're going to be diving into some news and basically checking out what's going on around the net in the IT business sector, hardware, and some other stuff like that.
That's right.
So, Joe, what is on the radar this week?
Well, on the radar, we've got a lot going on. A lot of interesting news this week. The first thing I wanted to talk about is, have you ever felt like you needed to just unplug from the world?
Yeah, sometimes.
So, there's this new trend that this guy named Mark Bittman is writing about that he is following. He's calling it Secular Sabbath or Secular Sunday.
Okay.
Basically, he's giving himself 24 hours every weekend where he turns off his laptop, turns off his cell phone, and just unplugs from the world and, you know, just reads a book, walks around, no iPod, nothing else. And he said that once he got used to it, he actually feels more refreshed by having that day off and can work harder the rest of the week. He said at first he was really twitchy, nervous, like, you know, well, what if I'm missing an important email, or what if there's a meeting being called that I don't know about, or, oh no, what do I do? And I don't know, I'm going to actually give this a try, I think.
Yeah, well, that's just the thing. There are really no important emails. Right. And there are really no important meetings.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, you know, if you can't go 24 hours without touching in, something's going on.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of nice to get off the grid for a little while. For me, it usually happens at the holidays when you go to your parents, because I think most of us in the country, if you're tech-related and you go to your parents' house, they're probably, you know, have a 28.8 modem, and you know, you can't download any YouTube videos.
That's right.
They probably don't have cable and all that kind of stuff. So that's your self-imposed exile.
Yeah. So I don't know. If you guys give it a try and you have good results, let us know. Or if you do it and you can't take it for more than 10 minutes, then, you know, well, you'll let us know for sure, because you'll be on your email. Yeah, that was just something interesting I noticed that I thought I'd bring up. The other thing, Intel has released some new processors. I guess these have been kind of in the works, and if you've been following Intel's roadmap, you know that these were coming. But they finally officially named them the Atom and the Centrino Atom. So these are the ultra-mobile chips for, like, little handheld devices and that kind of thing.
Are they 45 nanometer?
Yes, they are 45 nanometer. But these aren't going to be used in desktops. This is kind of like internet-centric stuff, ultra-mobile PCs, that kind of thing.
They run cool. They run efficient.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, super low power. So Atom, I guess, like, you know, because it's small.
Yeah, it's like a little Atom.
Yeah, so AMD's going to come out with, like, Neutron. We're smaller than Atom.
They're going to come out with the failed Tron.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing terrible lately. I mean, has there been any AMD news recently?
There is. There was some stuff this week.
Really? Like, they're actually developing new products and researching?
So they had their, let's see, what was this? This is dated March the 4th, which is today.
Woo!
Bam. They unveiled a DirectX 10 compatible motherboard GPU.
Okay, so this is, they're finally using the ATI thing that they paid way too much money for.
Right, so then now years later, they're finally delivering on what they talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So they are just basically saying these are the 45 nanometer CPUs, blah, 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 and it's going to be on the motherboard, and your graphics can now all be on the same thing, and it's going to help you if you add a graphics card later to beef it up.
So this is basically them coming out with the competitor to, like, Intel's CPU graphics combo board, right?
Right.
But hopefully a little bit faster.
Yeah, so what was it, Extreme Tech?
Yeah, they had a nice review on it.
It has a review.
Looking over. It seemed like their goal here was to make it so that you can throw another card in there, and it'll work together, sort of like SLI. Right. I think they call it Crossfire, which is... Oh, why don't they just call it Crossfire? Extreme 2000!
But it's not Crossfire, it's X-Fire, right?
Probably, yeah. But Extreme Tech was saying that, you know, instead of getting the small, you know, 30 to 50% boost, you get a full 60 to 100% boost because they work together. Mm. So you don't have to turn off the integrated chip like you normally do to add the new chip. But they were saying there were still a lot of driver issues with DirectX 10 apps. Some games like Crysis, the menus didn't work right and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it gives hope for, you know, people with not much money want to build a computer, but, you know, want to be able to upgrade parts of it later. This is a nice system to start with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're working some of this stuff into what they call the Puma mobile platform, and they're not sure which manufacturers are going to work with them on this, but
yeah,
I don't know. They're aiming for $700 to $2,500 ship price for
like the full computer. Yeah, oh, that's pretty good.
So we'll see.
I see that technology being useful in like a laptop. I think Extreme Tech mentioned a little bit of that. You know, imagine you've got a nice, you know, Dell or whatever PC laptop that has this integrated chip, but then you have your nice new Express card slot, which ties right into the PCI Express card or Express bus, and you can throw a card in at any time and you can basically double your graphics processing ability. Now, that could really be useful for someone who wants a machine that's not 20 pounds but can still play some games.
Right. So do you remember probably, I don't know how long ago it was, when I was talking about All Peers?
Yeah.
So this was probably either my Side of the Week or Toolbox or something, like way back in probably episode 10 or something uh-huh. like that. So I was super excited about All Peers. And for those of you who... it never got on your radar. All Peers was being developed, I think, in the UK. In the UK. It was a Firefox browser extension, which would let you do peer-to-peer type things.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you have it, I have it, our friends have it, and whenever you fire up your browser, you kind of jump on this sort of network. So all of our browsers are sort of like their own little web server.
Right.
So if you want to share files, you have this extension, and now we can all do P2P stuff with each other without having to run a bunch of extra stuff.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah. So the problem is they're closing their doors.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they just said that it worked and they were really proud of their team, but it just didn't grow fast enough. And
yeah, the problem I had is it just took too much memory.
Well,
I mean, Firefox is already crashy and memory hog.
Yeah, Firefox 2 has been in a rough shape, and then this layered on top of that was just...
Mm-hmm.
You know, the straw that broke the camel's back. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, a shame, but there's lots of P2P stuff out there in that same space. They even went to the. They announced they were going to go open source to try to attract other people to use their stuff, but I guess it was too little, too late. But
mm-hmm.
It did work. We did try it back in the day, and it. Just, I don't know. I would almost rather have seen it be some sort of external, non-browser based app.
Yeah,
but for that I've already got other torrent clients, so
yeah, I think, you know, you've got to, some browser apps are gonna work well, you know, things like Google Docs works because it's server-side processing, but, you know, if something's gonna be in the browser crunching away, I'd rather just have a separate app. You know, I don't want my browsing to be slow because I'm sharing files with somebody.
Right. Well, and it's really gonna be super hard to get to continue to get funding for P2P type businesses,
absolutely.
With Comcast blocking P2P and they're going after the Pirate Bay and all this kind of stuff, and it just mm-hmm. kind of has a bad reputation, and you're just not going to attract a lot of investors to that stuff right now.
Speaking of Comcast and their horribleness, apparently there's been more response to their silliness at their hearing. Like the EFF is going after them and basically saying that they're making stuff up and they don't know what they're talking about, and it's obvious that they're doing things to disrupt. I mean, they're just getting a beating, so maybe some good will come from their idiocracy.
I saw another article today that basically some people had taken photos or were alleging that at the FCC hearings that where Comcast appeared, that the Comcast had paid people to come in and cheer for them.
Heard about that.
So
That is just low.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, Comcast. Yeah.
Hmm.
By the way, if any Comcast technicians are listening, please come to Joe Baby's house and fix his
Seriously,
DVR.
Seriously, fix my DVR. I don't want to get into it. It's been awful. I'm this close to dropping the DVR and just buying a TiVo HD.
So how about this? On your secular Sabbath when you like tech out for the week, that could just be your one day of the week when your DVR isn't working.
Yeah, except it's more than one day usually.
Oh. Well, maybe you can reverse it to where one day a week you do technology. You can do it on podcast day.
Yeah, there we go.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. Moving on to something a little more exciting. So I think I've referenced this blog in the past, but I read this blog called The Lone Sysadmin.
Mm.
It's this guy, Bob Plankers, and it's a lot of links to just like interesting topics and tips for running, being a sysadmin. But every once in a while he puts in a really good post that I agree with 100%. His one from the 28th says, basically, get to know your systems, but not too well. And he's saying, follow the 80-20 rule. Don't spend 100% of your time on one system so that you are an expert on that, but then you've just wasted, 6 months on a project that could have taken 2 weeks.
Right.
And then he's also warning, the inverse, where you just don't have time to focus on your systems. I think that's more the danger that we face, is that we just don't have enough time to really get to know our systems. So every time there's a problem, it's, we've got to go back in and relearn things. And
have you ever seen the old stage performers that would do the plate thing, where they would have a stick and they would spin a plate on it and balance it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would put another stick up and spin a plate and balance that. And then they would do a third plate. And then they come back to the first one and spin it some more.
Yeah.
Is that like way before?
No. I've seen it.
Okay. So that's how I basically treat all
my... It was
in
black and white, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a silent movie. But that's how I feel with my systems at work. It's like you set it up there, you start spinning it, it looks good, and then you like let it go and you go on to the next thing, And when it starts wobbling like it's going to fall, you go catch it and you...
Yeah, you spin it some more.
So that's me. I basically build the boat, put the people on it and shove it offshore and, go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I tend to not... I'm like, call me when you have a problem.
Right.
And I might keep an eye... If it's a server, of course, I'm going to keep an eye on it. But workstations...
Oh, yeah.
Once I deliver it to you, won't ever see me unless you have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's the danger of spending every moment of every day making sure every workstation is patched and, defragged and optimized. And then there's the other end where... You don't spend any time doing any of those things because you have optimized everything in quotes to update itself, so you never check on it. And you got to find that balance if you want to be a good sysadmin, to know when it's time to check on things and when it's time to kind of just let it go.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, I just let it be a sort of a, I guess, when you take your car, I'm Mr. Analogy because I can't help it. When you take your car to the mechanic because it's making a rattle on the dash, and then he comes back and says, oh, you need an oil filter, and you need this, and you need windshield wipers, and you need a new whatever, spark plug.
Right.
That's how I, pretty much what I do. When people call me and they have a problem, as long as I'm already logged onto their box, I'm going to make sure all their stuff is patching.
Yeah.
I'm going to, clear out their junk and make sure they have enough file space and make sure that antivirus is updating.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to get inside the box to swap out a drive, I'm going to go ahead and blow out all the dust while I'm in there. So that's, if I'm already here, I'm just going to go ahead and do that stuff. So.
Right. Well, that makes sense because it's maintenance. It's keeping you from having to come back to that system every day.
Right.
But it's, you're not going to sit down at a system, see that it's dusty, and then go blow out every system in your building.
No, because that would take forever and I would have an allergy attack.
So I think that's the point he's trying to make, just find that balance, whether it's 80-20, 60-40, 90-10, mm-hmm. I guess that's what it would be. I can add, can't I? but yeah, it was just, it's a good blog. Go check it out. If you're a sysadmin and you are looking for content or for, interesting stories, he's a good one to follow.
Nice.
Let's see. This one's exciting. IE8.
Yes.
We were talking about this earlier.
Yes.
So there's been a big drama with IE8. There was, they were claiming, okay, we're going to be standards compliant, but they were going to force all websites who want IE8 in standards compliant mode to add this special customized flag on every website, which is very typical Microsoft. You know, okay, we're going to do what you want, but we're going to impose this new thing that you have to do for us to follow what you want.
That's such BS.
And they've been getting a lot of flack about it over the last, I would say, month or two. I've been seeing it all over the web, and everybody's up in arms, and they finally gave in. IE8 will run in standards compliant mode from day one.
Nice.
Finally.
By default.
By default.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you can, I think there is a way to set it to like IE7 and IE6 compatibility mode,
mm-hmm.
but pretty amazing, because I'm so sick of coding for IE6, and IE7 was supposed to be so much better, but it's better in different ways. So it's, you still have to kind of custom code for it. And I mean, even Firefox has its quirks for way it shows things, but Firefox Beta 3, which I'm running right now, is pretty compliant. It passes the ACID 3 test, and
mm-hmm.
apparently IE8 passes it perfectly. So
yeah, man, I tell you what, I can't even believe this was an issue. I mean, why are we still? I mean, I know why we're talking about
right.
it, but why are we having to talk about it, I guess, is my gripe.
Yeah.
Because, like, way back in the day, back when, oh, son, we have Java, it's great. Mm-hmm. And then Microsoft's like, well, that is awesome, but we're going to do our own.
Right.
No, don't do your own. They've already invented the wheel. Why does yours have to be different?
Yeah.
You know, and then they come in like, well, now you're going to have to rewrite all of your websites twice. One for the rest of the world and one for Microsoft, for IE.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't have that much of the market share anymore to be able to command that kind of, control over the web.
Right. Well, that's probably why. I mean, I think that's why IE8 is compliant.
Right.
Because Firefox is taking their market share. You know, yeah, it's still less, but I mean, IE6 went so long where it was just the only game out there. I don't remember when IE6 came out. It was like 98. When was 98 when IE6 came out?
Yeah, I don't remember.
So it's been, 7 years? And they finally came out with IE7, a year ago?
But I'm not even a real web programmer.
Right.
I mean, I use the tools to do it, and even I was sick of it. Yeah. I mean, why should I have to, like, preview this and check for all this cross-browser compatibility? And then, you hand jam sites from scratch, and it's, like, a big pain.
It's a pain. You have to do all these little hacks, and I'm afraid that once IE6 goes away that all my sites are going to break because of those little hacks are going to break mm-hmm. some other browser. But.
And even my Joomla stuff right now. I mean, it does. I mean, I buy professional templates, which mm-hmm. are pretty consistent. But even then, there's still some differences.
Yeah, yeah. The big thing for me with IE7 was supporting ping, where you can have nice, transparent. Oh, yeah.
That's another thing.
I know. It's getting better, slowly. And, you know, if they bring out IE8 with Windows 7, which is, like, supposedly going to be soon, you know, well then, great. We'll just skip over Vista and IE7 and go straight to goodness.
Right.
Of course, on my Mac, I'm
so you think IE8 is going to be released concurrently with Windows 7?
That's my guess. I could be wrong. It seems like it's around the same timetable, and it seems like they're released usually around they released IE7 pretty close to Vista.
Maybe a year before. Maybe 12 months before.
I mean, it came out, I think it was when Vista was in, like, its first beta. Or something, but it's good.
Wow,
good for standards, good for everybody. So more Microsoft news. They're cutting the price of Vista.
Yay, because it was very expensive.
but only the retail version, meaning Vista OEM, which is what I think everybody buys. If you're buying Vista retail, well, I'll just say it: you're a moron.
Well. So you're being taken advantage of by Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's the price difference? Like $100?
That's a lot.
Ultimate is $189.99 for OEM at Newegg. Vista Ultimate Retail, $329.99. So it's actually almost $200, it's $150 more.
That's crazy.
So they're bringing down the price like $20 or something on the retail. And they're acting like this is great, but they're not cutting the OEM price. So it affects very little people, and they're trying to look good, and they look like morons again.
Well, so here's the thing. When mom and dad hit the store and they buy Vista, they're not going to shop for the OEM.
But they should.
They should. Right.
Let's get the word out.
Right. Everybody, if your parents are buying Vista, first of all, stop them. Make them get a Mac. No, I'm not going to say that. If they do get Vista, get them the OEM.
Yes, please. And all you have to do to be legal is buy, like, a mouse with it.
Oh, right.
Because technically you have to buy it with hardware and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah, a thumb drive.
Yeah, anything.
Well, you probably want a nice new fat hard drive to go
actually,
with
you know what? I have this better solution. Buy a Mac.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, just stop.
Or just stick with XP.
Yeah, for another year.
Although, you know, I can't really say that because once the patches are gone, I don't want you to stick with XP because that means you will be a spam bot. And I don't want that.
Spam bot nation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Vista Ultimate that I bought at just after Christmas or just before Christmas, I don't remember now, that was OEM.
Yeah.
And I think I spent right at 180, something like that. So it hurt, but not too bad.
Right.
And it was a full. That was the first time I ever bought like a full OS.
Like a not upgrade.
Not like a not upgrade. I had three XP home upgrade editions. So it's like, put in your old Windows. Let me see that you qualify for this. So it's like I had to keep a Windows 98 disk around just to like load XP.
Yeah.
Man. But at least it is cheaper. So that this price cut is coming out at the same time as the Service Pack 1.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're thinking businesses will like, oh, it's cheaper and SP1 is here. Maybe it's time to actually do mm-hmm. Vista at work.
Yeah. I'm trying to give Vista a chance. I have it running in Parallels. You know, it's my boot camp partition now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling it, man. You still like it?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes me 3 extra clicks now to change my IP address. Why? How is that better? I'm putting you on the spot.
No, I mean, it's fine.
It's prettier.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just Vista. That's what it is.
You're following Michael. You can't just accept. You must fight back.
But to me, it doesn't matter. It's just a tool. You put the tool in the box and you do what you need to do. You know what I mean? It's like...
But why would you use one of those old push lawnmowers that, you know, is just spinning that little blade spinning around from you pushing it?
That's not what Vista is. Vista's like the newfangled mower that's so complicated that you can barely operate it and it doesn't fit in your garage.
I don't know. I just don't like it. I'm just not happy. I'm so frustrated because I feel like they did everything I didn't want them to do. They made it more complicated. They made it, you know, they made security more in your face so that you will want to ignore it even more and turn it off.
Yeah.
Making it less secure.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, you turned off UAC, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like the first thing you did.
But I'm a system administrator and I'm behind a router firewall.
Uh-huh.
And I have antivirus.
Uh-huh.
So.
But what, don't you think everybody else is going to do that too? I guess they won't know how.
Maybe. I don't know.
Every time I see that screen flash, it just, I die a little bit inside.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you need to turn it off and not let it make you angry.
But I need to know what the users will be facing.
Well, they're just going to turn it off too.
See, there you go.
So they're not going to be facing it.
So what's the point then? It doesn't make it any better. In fact, it makes it worse because it turns off all security.
I don't know. I mean, so here's the thing. The install is nicer.
Sure.
Okay. It is more secure, even if you unsecure it based on convenience. Is it really, though?
Is it really more secure?
I mean, yeah, they make more of an attempt.
How do you know?
Because the UAC crap's popping up every 2 seconds.
Yeah, but you turned it off.
Yeah.
So once that's off, it's not any better. It's XP with a new skin.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean...
More clicks to get to my network.
So that's the issue of personal responsibility. I take personal responsibility for my own machine security. I'm not letting Microsoft, you know, coddle me and like... Oh, we'll think for you. You know, I don't want to just be clicking around the whole internet.
But why even use it then?
Well, it's like everything else in Vista. I mean, I have the option to use MS Paint or not use it. UAC is just another thing in the operating
system.
Right,
no, but I mean, why use Windows at all? Why do you have it? Why are you still using Microsoft Windows?
Because I like to watch Windows Media videos.
I can do that on my Mac. I can do that on Linux too.
Yeah, I don't know. So here's my thing with Vista. The install's a lot nicer. Yes. I can resize partitions on the fly. It is more secure, even if I turned off some stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced that it's more secure once that UAC is turned off, though.
Yeah, I'm just.
Keep going.
It is prettier.
Yeah.
It does the cool the arrow right. stuff and uh-huh. the little desktop flipping because I have Vista. Uh-huh. It talks to my Xbox.
Yeah.
My Xbox is a media extender. I can stream mm-hmm. videos off of it.
Mm-hmm. But only Vista Ultimate, which you could buy that. You could buy a media center for XP.
Right. But I mean, you spend the money to get the features that you want.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I like it. I mean, did I need it? No. You know, but it's like when I put extra bacon on my sandwich. It's just delicious.
Extra bacon is so much better than Vista.
Well, I have to agree with you on that. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my Mac too. I mean, the Mac is a tool. It's a tool in the toolbox. I pull it out when we do the podcast or when I want to have a mobile troubleshooting thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Vista's my home base and that's where I do all my stuff.
Just can't believe it.
I'm not going to alienate myself. So here was the thing. In the old days, I was all about Windows and Linux, and I didn't know anything about Macs. Mm-hmm. And we started having Mac customers, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about that. I don't uh-huh. want to ever have to tell someone that again.
Yes.
And I'm not going to go the other way now and be like, oh, now I'm all about Linux and Mac, and I think Vista sucks, so I'm not going to learn anything about it or ever use it.
No, I'm not saying don't use it, but you're using it as your main machine. It's what you look at every day.
Yeah, but I mean, using it as my main machine, I mean, what? I'm not using it for everything. I mean, I just use it to surf the web. And to check email, that's it.
I just can't believe
it. that's just the way it is, man.
Man.
I don't know. Sometimes you just got to take the good with the bad.
No, you don't. You never have to. You can make a decision to better yourself as a computer user.
But how can I appreciate Windows 7 if I don't that's, use Vista?
That's right. That's the solution. I'll eat some moldy bread, so I appreciate the good bread when I have it.
Right. I mean, I'm still using Tiger. I haven't upgraded to Leopard.
I know. It's so sad.
Because there's no school like the old school.
Yeah. Why don't you just rock out some Windows Millennium Edition, baby? Because it was so much better. Suck. It was prettier. It was more secure. It had a better firewall than 98 second edition. It took up less hard drive
space.
It had a better install. But it still sucked.
Installed a lot faster. Because it was so much smaller and suckier. It had 3 DLLs. I don't know, man. I don't hate it. It's just a thing, man. I don't get upset.
You need some emotion in your life.
I do.
Passion.
I have emotions. They're called hungry and sleepy. And I oscillate between the two.
Nice.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up another episode of the Angry Admins Podcast. If you feel like communicating with us or threatening us or doing anything like that, feel free to send comments to feedback@angryadmins.com.
That's right. If you hate Vista too, send it to feedback@ryaniswrong.com.
The opinions expressed by Joe Bibby are not necessarily those of the Angry Admins Podcast.
Except they are.
Only 50%. Maybe 51%.
51% majority share.
Man. All right, anyway, our website, angryadmins.com. Feel free to stop by if you want to see some links to all the cool stuff we talked about today. Until next week, I am the Vista guy, Ryan Ness.
And I'm Joe Mac, 3G iPhone, Time Machine Bibby.
Oh, man.
Stay angry.